This morning on The Long View, our political contributor Neil Milner joins us to talk about private schools. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning, Catherine.
So what's this? Why private schools?
Well, why private schools? This is based on a recent piece by Caitlin Flanagan called Private Schools Are Indefensible. And first of all, the title is a little bit misleading. It's a story really that's mostly about very elite East Coast and one West Coast private schools, the elite of the elite. And there are all kinds of other private schools, and she's not saying generally they're indefensible, but she says pretty close. And the reason that I chose it is because if you think of the categories of schools that Iolani and Punahou are likely to be considered elite private schools, and I'm not saying that they follow the pattern that she finds, but that it's worth looking at over time, because we can't really do it right now, the extent to which Punahou and Iolani and elite public schools create less social mobility and less equality rather than more. And so let's start with the little stuff that she talks about and then maybe get to the bigger stuff. And again, what I'm saying is that this is a point of discussion down the road that I think we should have about private schools here, because they're clearly, everybody knows that there is a difference between public and private schools, especially the two elite schools. But we don't really think about what that means. Anyway, Caitlin Flanagan is a terrific writer, and some of the stuff that she shows, first of all, is how outrageous the behavior of parents are in these schools that she's talking about. And again, they're in Manhattan, they're down the East Coast, and so on. Parents behave badly. Kids get the parents defend kids. It's harder to teach in these schools now. The pressure to get their kids into college makes people behave in all kinds of unethical names and ways, including Sidwell Friends School, which is the elite private school in the Washington, D.C. area, with all kinds of important politicians and their kids, including the Obamas. She talks about the extent to which the business model of these schools is that you're constantly raising money, and that what that leads you to is to give undue influence to the people who give the most money, the very wealthiest.
But, we should probably point out, though, that, you know, here in Hawaii, there are different kinds of private schools, right? There's religious schools, there's Kamehameha, you know, you've got Catholic schools and Buddhist schools.
Yes, that's right, and you have other kinds of schools. And that's why I say that one of the things to understand about her piece is that even generally she's just talking about a certain kind of elite private school, and there clearly is a difference among private schools along those lines. And Hawaii, as in other places, you have a whole line of what we tend to call private schools, but that is parochial schools, religious schools. So again, what I'm saying here is that she raises these issues, and she's talking mainly about elite schools, but there are some schools here that on the surface come closer to the characteristics, the overall characteristics of others. And so, you know, that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about here. So that's kind of the small stuff, the stuff that she finds about some of these schools that can really make your hair stand on end. And as I say, whether parents or kids are behaving that way here, and whether the pressure to get into college, elite colleges, has just gotten totally out of hand, that's an issue that requires a much closer look at all kinds of schools in Hawaii that we don't really pay enough attention to.
Well, you know, we just came off the big college scandal, right, for the wealthy people trying to get their kids into elite colleges, and they're just dropping, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Well, there's bribery. What was happening at Sidwell Friends is that the parents were fighting with other parents, trying to get the records of their other parents' children to make bad things about them so that their kids would have a better chance to get in. The behavior is really pretty much outrageous and so much out of control that these elite colleges or elite high schools or private schools try to regulate it, and it's very hard because it has really gotten just crazy about getting into the elite colleges. But here's the overall thing that I think we have to think about all the time. Everybody knows here that when you say public school versus private school, you lump them all together, that privates, that you're thinking about differences in what these schools offer and what difference that makes. And so, you know, we're not making up kind of things here. The real question, though, is implicit in that, in the defense of these schools is, yeah, but we educate poor kids, we help with social mobility, we give them scholarships and so on. But here's the overall general point about elite colleges and about private schools. They do not contribute to social mobility at this time. And in fact, as she argues about the kind of elite schools, if you look who goes and who gets into the elite colleges, these schools have as much to do with preventing social mobility as anything else. Now, that's an interesting point because that's a fundamental component of inequality, to the extent that it is true. And we know that even smart kids who come from poor families and go, let's say, to public schools, who test real high, do less well in college than mediocre kids from wealthier families. So there definitely is something going on that we don't pay sufficient attention to in regard to what's the relationship between the elite private schools and perpetuating inequality rather than anything else. So that's really what I think people have to think about a little bit more. And I'm saying it's an open question in regard to particular schools here, but all I can say is that if you look at research on the relationship between elite educational institutions and inequality, most of the elite educational institutions, particularly at the college level, in a sense perpetuate inequality rather than decrease it. That is, they don't help people moving from the bottom up by getting an education there, mainly because those people don't get a chance to go.
But, you know, even in the public school system, there are kind of elite schools, right?
Oh, yeah.
Folks are trying to get their kids into different districts that, you know, they don't live in that area, but they know it's a blue ribbon school, or they've got some awesome program, after school program, and so they try and elbow their way into those better schools, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's called elite schools in lots of places on the mainland are suburban high schools or suburban schools because they have the socioeconomic characteristics, they have the money, they have parent supports. They have kids who have picked up the components of how you learn literally from birth, which is where the disparity in the ability to thrive in school starts.
Yeah.
We don't have suburbs here exactly, but everybody knows what the better public schools are and tries to get into them.
Yes, lots to think about. I'll have to go back and reread that article. But thanks so much, Neil.
It is fun. Okay, take care, Catherine.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Well, that was Neil Milner, retired professor of political science, a contributing editor with a segment Longview.